Welcome to the Voice of the Agent podcast. I am delighted today to be joined by Will Ulstein, who is the CEO of YouGov UK, or UK YouGov, or CEO UK of YouGov. Which one are you, Will?
I'm the UK CEO for YouGov.
So I try and make my guests feel at ease by fluffing up at the beginning. So I've done all the mess up and then they don't worry about if they do too. But I'm really glad that you joined us today. You very kindly spoke at our conference with a really sweeping view of the forces shaping tomorrow's consumer. If you could just tell me a little bit about YouGov, and then let's get into that. What does YouGov do, and how did that give you the position to talk about the consumer of tomorrow?
Sure, no problem. Firstly, thank you very much for having me at the conference, and for having me on the podcast.
Pleasure.
I really enjoyed the conference. It was... you've obviously got a really fun audience who are experts in their field and really passionate about what they do. I got a very warm reception in the room, so thank you very much for that. A little bit about YouGov. So we are a international data and analytics business. Grounded in market research, we own a panel of many millions of people around the world, from whom we collect data, mainly in the form of surveys that they respond to. But increasingly, they're also giving us their data by connecting other sources to their YouGov account. So it might be something like their Netflix accounts. We can see what they viewed on Netflix in recent history, or they might connect their bank accounts to us. So we can see everything that flows through their current account. But what we do is we collect all of that data and we package it up. We service our clients through the use of that data, whether that be through syndicated products or whether that be through bespoke research that we run.
A question I'll always get asked, and I'll just throw it out there, didn't prepare you for this at all, is, but I have all this data. Why do I need research?
You might have data, and great. I'm a data nerd at heart.
We respect and like each other.
More data, the better, as far as I'm concerned. It depends on what data you have. I mean, some people have an awful lot of customer data, so they know an awful lot about their own customers, but they might not know anything or as much about their future customers or potential customers or their competitors' customers, or what the next generation, like I talked about at the conference, is thinking, feeling, and what beliefs they hold. So, you know, data can help you certainly understand an audience, understand sort of the direction of travel, understand how you are perceived in the marketplace.
Yeah, and there's a great... If you put research and data together, you are incredibly... I mean, I know that from experience, and that's why I'm a huge fan of what you guys do. And also, hey, I'm a data geek as too. I put the two together. And also that thought about, you can know what people can think, which data can never tell you. And also you can find out what people would do in certain situations, which again, data can't always tell you. So like I said, you kind of opened your talking about all the forces that shape the world that we live in today and how generations coming had been through such a rapid period of change. Now you're kind of after that event, what did you think of the room's reaction? Did you get a sense that people go, oh yeah, I know all that, or resistance, or what? What did you presented a sweeping view. How did people react?
I got a very, very similar reaction to that I've had at a number of conferences where I've presented similar content this year. I like to think of it sort of almost like an innovation curve. You've always got, you know, the early adopters, they're people that are already seeing change in their businesses, in their lives. And, you know, what I'm talking about is confirmatory for those people. You've got the people in the middle, you know, so the early majority, the late majority, they're the ones that tend to sit up scribbling notes. They might not have seen anything that I'm talking about before, but they're keen to understand either motivated through opportunity, and excitement, or potentially one of concern and fear. And then there are the skeptics, and they have every right to be. What I talked about was Gen Z, what they look like now, and sort of are we going to see these people come into the marketplace and the workforce and completely reshape the world as we know it? I can't predict the future. Nobody can with any degree of certainty. So they've got every right to be skeptics. So we got the full range of people in the room. But they all leaned in with good humor and great questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really nice crowd. I mean, genuinely, they were really. It's, I, why I can't seem to leave the property industry because actually, I really like the people in it. I'm curious. Is you do kind of? It's quite momentous what change is coming in reality and the world that the next generation have lived in. Do you think the property industry is ready for the scale of change, or do you think they're just kind of hoping it's all going to slow down and go away?
I don't think anyone's sort of hoping it will slow down and go away. And I don't know enough personally about the property industry. I can only gauge from what I saw in the room. And what I saw in the room was, that complete sort of spectrum of reaction to what I talked about. A business sort of vertical that is as ready as others to embrace the next bit of change that comes along. So, do I think they're ready? Maybe, based on the questions, some of them certainly. That's for sure.
I mean, I suppose get ready because it's happening would be kind of like, it is. So, okay, so you use Gen Z. We want to go to like the real, not Generation Alpha, Gen Z, the one who are just coming into this world of property. As you present them not as an eccentric outlier, but as the leading indicator of where all consumers are heading. If you had to distill your message to estate agents or letting agents to this one strategic risk they might be underestimating, what do you think it would be?
I think I'd rephrase that slightly. I talked about sort of Gen Z coming in. It's not necessarily all consumers that are going to then adopt Gen Z, attitudes and outlook, right? There are some things that are deeply held in the older generations that aren't un very unlikely to change. The one thing I would say in terms of what I can see from Gen Z, as they enter the workplace, they become your new customers, your new business partners. They do have a very, very different outlook. So my overriding message, coupled with that, and their use, their adoption, the sweeping change of AI coming through, is the businesses that will thrive are the ones that are going to have the ability to adapt, the ones that have the leaders and the managers that are going to learn. And be agile. I think that's the key.
Kind of Darwinian, isn't it? And I heard, I'm sure it's something I read that YouGov produced. It's like, the line was something along the lines, Gen Z sets the culture, but it's actually the older generation. Actually, you said this much better as YouGov, I'm sure, but it's Gen Z almost sets the culture or the weather because they are the leaders, the adopters, the early innovators, and all that kind of stuff. But it's actually the more mature, more people who are actually doing stuff. But they are influenced by young people. They have children, they have grandchildren, and they're watching what they're doing. So they are the leading lights amongst Gen Z. So almost what they do is what's coming. And actually, it's probably happening faster than we think because they do influence older people.
For sure they influence older people. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And it's a great indicator of what is likely to come. But like I said, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't sort of predict the future, as it were. Sorry.
Unfortunately, my next question is going to be along those lines. So I'm afraid I'm going to ask you to brush off that crystal ball. You're going to sit at a pretty unique position at YouGov, observing shifts in public sentiment long before they show up in actual market behavior. You've got lots of clients, some very big clients. What are the most common ways your clients in property, finance, retail, or elsewhere are using your data to make decisions more confidently?
Great question. So, first, we've got it used in many, many different ways by different types of organization. We work with government, with political parties, with global tech, all the way to independent local charities. And our data is used above all else to drive better decision making, whether that be to understand market dynamics, whether that be to understand your customers better, understand your potential customers better, your brand health, your positioning in the market, your reaction to products, propositions, campaigns that you're going to run, used for activation in the ad tech ecosystem, as a form of measurement. But if I try and sort of make that more tangible, if you think I'll take sort of a typical life cycle of a business initiative or a product launch or something like that, a property company looking to open a new office or take a new proposition to market, right? YouGov can predominantly be thought of as supporting that in two ways. There's sort of the planning element. So YouGov data could be used to segment the market, to understand your existing and potential customers, to deeply really understand their wants, put some color behind those people, understand their situation, make an assessment of the competition and their strengths and weaknesses, and where are the gaps for you. YouGov data can be used to test reactions to your new offer, to test reactions to the communications or the ads that you want to run alongside that. So you can then hone those communications so that they land most effectively. Then when you're sort of into launch phase, our data might be used to support PR and thought leadership. We can give you some data that will give you some attention-grabbing headlines. We can feed data into the ad tech ecosystem so you can target audiences that you're really after in terms of, on social platforms, across digital properties. Our data can be used for continuous measurement so that you can understand perceptions of the brand. Is that new proposition moving the needle? Are you increasing awareness, consideration, or intention to buy? In total, multiple use cases that our data can be used for. But really, what it is providing an evidence base so that leaders and managers can make decisions, leaning on something that is robust and that they can trust, not necessarily just their gut.
I love that. I mean, I joke with Josh, one of your team members, that I'm the biggest fan of YouGov. Simply because, when I came across it, was like I was blind and now I can see. When I used to do research in the olden days, I would have to spend 10 to 20,000 pounds. It would be 2 to 3 months of field work. I'll get across tabulations that were thicker than the Bible, and I would have to go through them and photocopy the pages that I wanted. To now, because everything you're saying, it's like I run a one office estate agency CNS. How can YouGov help me? I would always say, and you can build on this, is you can subscribe to YouGov Daily. Why don't you find out what the British people really think on any issue? Because you might think you've got strong views and you represent the people, and therefore you're right. But just to immunize yourself against maybe a bit of confirmation bias, is just that email you get from YouGov, which just sends you like daily what you've polled that day. You have tons of free research you put out there, but also I can
Oh, absolute buckets of the stuff.
go.
You're absolutely
I live
right.
in that bucket, Will. I live in that
It's
bucket.
good, good. And we're delighted to. I mean, you're right. The YouGov Daily is super interesting. Join the panel. Provide us with your thoughts so you can actually see how we're collecting the data in the first instance. But we also have what we call public data. So that's our freemium model. If you go onto the YouGov website, you will find a huge number of trackers of articles about what the great British public thinks on everything from what should be the government's biggest priority today to ratings for people like Donald Trump versus Jimmy Kimmel, whatever it might
I
be.
found out today that 95% of people in the UK have heard of, so I live in Grantham, have heard of Isaac Newton, who's from Grantham. I'm pleased to say that 100% of people in Grantham have heard of Isaac Newton. And that's the kind of free data of just likes and awareness stuff that you've just got out there and it's just available, isn't it? It's just kind of like, and you can do it by age, gender, politics, region. You just break it all down. And that's all, let's say this again, totally free.
Totally free on our public-facing website. It comes with a health warning. If you're interested, you can get lost there for hours.
That's my problem, I'm afraid. Excellent. Now, but of course, above that, you also have entry level. I mean, some of this stuff is, I mean, I've done projects, big projects with YouGov. If I just want to kind of ask a question of the YouGov Omnibus, the kind of the big panel that you've got, again, entry level pricing for people. If I just, I've got a burning question, might be business related or whatever. I want to find out what people think. What's my entry point? I mean, am I talking £2,000, £5,000? Where do I get into this?
Oh, no, you're talking for entry level into our Omnibus. And just to explain, Omnibus, we run a survey that goes out every single night, and clients can buy a question on that survey. Doesn't necessarily be limited to one. They can buy, sort of 20 questions if they want. But that starts at a couple of £100. So that's your entry price. Into this, and that survey will go out to what we call a nationally representative sample. So that is a scientific curated group of people who represent all elements of society. So it's balanced for we have the right number of men and women and people of different ages and people from different areas of the country. So it really does give you a view of what Britain thinks.
Brilliant. So again, this is accessible to everyone. I say it wasn't 10 years ago, 15 years ago. You just couldn't get into this stuff unless you had big budgets. But now, and we'll talk a bit more about what we're doing together to make this even more available to people. So we've kind of touched on this a little bit. Most businesses will still see research as a retrospective tool. It's a way of looking in the rearview mirror rather than a predictive one, i.e. looking out the front windscreen. Where have you seen really good examples of organizations, let's say, misusing, underusing YouGov's capabilities, and what does best practice look like?
Well, first of all, look, there's nothing wrong with looking in the rearview mirror. And in fact, I would say that a great many of our clients are using data to measure past performance. And it is a excellent use case of research. It's how did that land? Did we move the needle? How? Why? What can we learn from that, and how can we do it better next time? So that is a classic market research use case, and I would never take anything away from that. Misuse of data, I would say that's very rare, actually.
Can I let
Across
you into a
research,
secret?
yes.
I got told off because I
Did
slightly
you?
missed you. I got some data, and I whenever I get data from you guys, I send it to the team there and say, "Is this the okay use?" So it never went public, but I got a slightly, in the very nice and polite way that your account directors deal with their clients, is going, "I've checked with the team, and this would not be the appropriate use of this data because it's not mathematically or statistically accurate." So I feel reprimanded in the most polite YouGov way because I was quite tempted just to post that and thought, no, I've been told off now. I probably shouldn't. It was
Well,
basically, it broke down a sample probably below a level that they were comfortable with. And it was like, not really good.
So I mean that is one of the rare areas where we do actually, and we provide that checking service to catch exactly that type of use case, right? There are some times when people want to put out a headline, and it's
Self-serving headline, perhaps.
Well, it might be they want to tell a particular story, and the data doesn't necessarily support the story that they want to tell. And so, as you've experienced, our very polite checking service says, Simon, Maybe you can't use that, but have you thought about this as a different angle? So that's where we see sort of, I would say, and it's a rather strong term, but misuse of data. In terms of best practice, I think that what really is best practice as far as we can see it, is actually utilizing the YouGov engine for someone, and really making us work on your behalf. You use the example of, earlier, if you ask a single question on the omnibus. Now, YouGov has what we call connected data. We own the relationship with all of our panel and everyone who's on our panel. We connect every single data point that they've ever given us together for them. So it means if we ask one more question, we can then use the answer to that question to turn the whole of the YouGov solution around so you can look through the lens of that one single question. So to make that tangible, let's say, I don't know, one of your members wants to ask about the use of AI in conveyancing, something that, we couldn't possibly store on our panel. The answer comes back as, so these people are very keen on using this specific use case for conveyancing. We put that back into our connected data solution. You can suddenly turn around the entire YouGov machinery. So we can tell you how old those people are, where they live, or the background, where they come from, the media they consume, their attitudes to risk, love, life, finance, what supermarkets they shop at, how they voted in previous elections, the sports teams to follow, the celebrities they love, the programs they watch, the books, the movies, everything. We can provide a complete picture. And that's what we talk about sort of when we're talking about connected data. And that's what I'm talking about when, make YouGov work for you. One question, and we can open up a whole world.
I mean, and I love that. I mean, I use that a lot because I've done a lot of the single question stuff and then gone through the other end of the telescope and looked down the other end and see what it gets to. And if you know, IYKYK, whether they like beans on toast or not, that'll be referenced relevant to anyone who attended the conference. And that went on a bit of a meme fest after you talked about that at the conference. And the one I use consistently is, have you ever had a pillow fight? Because one of your public data questions was, have you ever had a pillow fight? And I've been able to go through every town in the UK where I've done a presentation and said, did you know that 48% of people in this town have had a pillow fight? But the funny thing is, and I've got, maybe not fair to ask you this, is it's normally 48% of people say they have, 46% say they haven't, which leaves a gap. What always blows my mind is, how do you not know if you've had a pillow fight or not?
Some people probably are saying it's are using don't know to not answer and sit on the fence. They don't necessarily want to admit to us whether they pillow fight or
Is such a good answer. You should run a research company with an answer for that.
not.
That was a good answer. I like it. So, okay. Obviously, we can't not talk about it because it's the thing of the moment. The conference highlighted the growing role of AI in decision support for everyone, but especially among Gen Z. How is YouGov integrating AI into your own products, and how is it changing how what clients can do with your data? Because you've got this massive data set. And it wasn't possible 2 years ago, 3 years ago, before ChatGPT and the light came around.
Sure. So look, like everyone else, AI is sweeping through the research and data industry at a rate of knots. And it's exciting, as far as I'm concerned. It's changing, like you said, the way that data can be used, the way that data can be consumed, and absolutely we're integrating it into our tech. There's some really sort of base use cases, and then there's some more like really exciting fun stuff. Give you a sort of a basic example. It's actually been sort of we've been using machine learning AI, if you like, for years doing this one. When we write surveys, we generally include what we call an open-ended question. So rather than We ask a question, you have a fixed number of responses. It's a blank open text box that you can feel free to write whatever you want in there in response. Now, that gives us lots of color, but it's actually quite hard to analyze. If you're, if in the old days when I started in this business, it meant that, and I actually did this job for a while, you had to read through all of those comments and then start some sort of thematic analysis in some form of, tally box somewhere, to try and make sense of that. These days, AI. You take all of those responses, you put them into AI, it gives you in seconds what used to take days, thematic analysis of those responses, and also gives you the sentiments towards them. So base use case. But then within our platform, so things like profiles, which I know you use, we're deploying AI so that clients can get their job done faster. So you can ask AI, and it will return results for you. It will guide you through the platform so that you don't have to be the data nerd like me. You can, even sort of, someone visiting our platform for the first time can actually get an awful lot of value out of it very, very quickly, without having to know necessarily know data or learn our tools. There's another interesting one. So we're creating digital personas. So we acquired a company called Yabble, New Zealand-based company, fabulous people, very much sort of using AI to build tools for the research industry. And we feed our data into the AI, and it creates a persona so that you can then have a chat with that persona, and as if you would, sort of any other chatbot online. But you can create the curate the characteristics of that persona by feeding it different types of data. So, there's a couple of interesting things, none of which would have been possible several years ago.
And I think that's really exciting. I'm actually doing a presentation tomorrow at a conference on this exactly the subject, because people obviously are using LLMs, ChatGPT, Gemini, and the like to create personas. And what I basically am saying in there is that's okay, but they do have biases, actually, LLMs. The best thing you can do is feed actual research and actual data into it so it has the best possible chance of building. So if someone like YouGov's creating them for you, that's a massively, because I think there's almost like a, I think I was looking at some research. There's a 30 to 40% error rate on personas from just a pure LLM, but it leaps to like 85 to 95% if you've got actual data fed into it. I mean, the simplest thing I've found is I've used the AI to help me with the massive number of questions within YouGov, and I know there's a specific type of question in there. But I want to use natural language to type in my query, and it'll help me find it. So that's the most limited use case. But I've always struggled with the size of YouGov, of knowing there's going to be a question in there, but I don't know the exact terms you've used. So just that freeform text is incredibly helpful. But you kind of lent into my next question in some ways. Is we're touching on future innovation, and also you talked about that in your talk, hinting about what's coming down the line. Obviously, I'm not expecting you to use us as the big release of giving away your state secrets. But which ex developments inside YouGov excite you most in terms of how clients will read the market faster with more precision?
Come back to that one. I just want to sort of jump in on a comment you just made
Okay. Yeah, please.
in answer to the previous one. You're absolutely right. When it comes to feeding models with the right data and accurate data, rather than you can get models that are and personas built out of completely synthetic data. We don't play in that game. We're very much grounded in reality. We believe, research from real people feeding those models gives you the best result. You can impute from there, but you've got to start with something grounded in reality.
And I, sorry, you go. Sorry. I'll shut up. I don't have. I don't have to be on motor mouth the rest of the time. I'll shut up.
No, not at all. To answer your question though, about what's the most exciting thing coming? I won't give away the any state secrets.
Oh, go on.
Actually,
I
no,
won't
I
tell
can't.
anyone. I won't tell anyone.
He says on a podcast.
Just you and me, Will. It's just you and
Yeah,
me.
that's how you lull everyone into a false sense of security. We trailed it actually to our investors about a month ago. And that's our use of an AI-based interviewer that can chat to our panel to ask them questions. It
AI
is
to real people. AI to real
AI
people.
to real people. So, if
Okay.
you go back to when I started in research, you always had an interviewer. It would be someone either in the street or on the telephone, asking you the questions in a very scripted form. Then we moved to online. And now we've got sort of online, but with the benefit of this dynamic interviewer, able to flex, and respond to you based on the responses that you give us. Now, that's super exciting because you can then link all those responses with AI in terms of analysis to bring out, the color and the richness. But you then link that to some of our tracking tools so that we run something called Brand Index. It's we monitor about 2,000 brands in the UK every single day to understand what people think about them. What we can then do is, if you see a movement in that data or any other tracking data, you can then immediately deploy this AI interviewer to understand the why behind the movement. And then the AI analysis will generate summary sort of action like reports off the back end to say, we've seen this movement, we've deployed the AI interviewer, this is why, this is what we think the challenge or the opportunity or the threat is. And so it becomes this sort of always on radar, scanning the horizon for you. To take away sort of the de-risk you or provide you with that opportunity before anybody else sees it.
So, I've got a couple more questions.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask one that we probably didn't talk about in advance, but I think it's important because a lot of what we're talking about here, again, if I am the one branch estate agent in Skegness, some of this stuff is, I'm never going to be one of the 2,000 brands where you're doing the survey. And it's there's so much I can benefit from what you've said in terms of you go daily, asking the single questions, knowing that a single question is linked to everything you've got within the YouGov database. All that stuff's fantastic. Plus, oodles of free stuff you can basically lose your life in if you want to, and I have. Thank you for that. Never get those hours back, but I had a very happy time.
You're welcome.
I suppose so. My question is, you and I have been talking, and I've been talking to YouGov for some time about this. Is I'm a huge believer in support of SMEs and the independent business, the independent agents out there, and I'm very conscious that we subscribe to the full YouGov profiles tool and we use it with our clients, but we want to make it more democratic and give access. We're close, aren't we, to making some of this data available to, if you're an SME, we will be able to put a portal out there that allows them to essentially say who they are, their company's where they is, and we'll be able to give them a snapshot of the richness that goes on within YouGov.
Absolutely. So I was spurred on by your chat with Experian at the conference. We love Experian. We've worked with them for 15 years or more. They're great partners of ours, but I don't want to be outdone by them. And we're also massive supporters of SMEs. We've got solutions for massive multinational corporates, and we've got solutions for independent charities. Spurred on by that Experian conversation, yes, we absolutely want to do something with you, with your audience, at an entry-level price, that will give them something that is incredibly useful and relevant to them. Right? It might not contain all the bells and whistles of the AI types stuff that I've talked about so far, but it will certainly provide them with grounded evidence that would allow them to make better decisions.
And that's the interesting point, isn't it? Because actually, because LLMs are actually incredibly democratic, because we've all got access to ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude if we want to use it, or yeah, or Perplexity, Anthropic. If you've got the right data, which we're now going to make available to the people who work with us, actually don't even work with us, they're going to be able to just access it if they buy access to this. They can use their own LLM to do what the largest corporations do, but they benefit from the quality of YouGov data and actually Experian data. So actually, they can do their own synthetic humans. They can do their own, or no, you didn't call them, not synthetic humans, the personas, the AI-based
Personas,
personas,
AI-based systems.
which are built on actual real data, and that
Correct.
can go down to your locality and your actual people, and that makes it accurate. And everything they own, buy, think, consume, do, watch, read, think, behave, support, all that's in there. And I'm hoping, you know, I know we're working out the details yet, but I wanted to tease this now, kind of the people out there, because now everyone's quite excited about it, is early next year, very early next year, we'll be launching it in beta. And once we put that out there, we'll make it available to a small audience. Everything you've heard Will say today, we're going to give you prompts that will enable you to do much of it yourself, but based on the quality that only YouGov data can really provide, backed up by those fantastic guys at Experian as well, who, again, hard data makes all the difference. So, my final question to you, I'll save the best till last. If you could set one challenge for estate or letting agents following your session, what shift in mindset or capability would you urge them to make now rather than waiting for the conference that I hope you'll be speaking at next year?
Well, I'd be delighted to speak at the conference next year. Thank you. I think it's the same. It's the same thing I'm encouraging all the YouGov staff to do. And it's a mindset. It's a mindset of learning, being open to new ideas, to new ways of working, experimentation, and embracing failure. Always encourage our staff, fail fast, learn from it, let's move on. And I think one of the constant themes coming out of the conference was change. Whether that be around legislation, whether that be around technology, whether that be the use of AI throughout the property transaction. The pace of change is only going to get quicker. With a agile learning mindset, I think we're going to get, everyone will get there a lot faster and a lot more comfortable.
I love that. I'm going to be cheeky because I meant to ask this at the beginning and I didn't. So I'm going to actually throw it in at the end and kind of just kind of like, how do you get to become the CEO of YouGov UK? How did you get into this game? What was the path into all this? Because, you know, you talk with real passion about data, and that makes me very happy because I am a data guy. How did you get into this?
I was a failed actor, and a terrible motorcycle courier. True
I
story.
did not expect that answer, Will.
In my formative years, I was an actor. I then went to university, came back, went for auditions again, didn't manage to land any good parts. And while I was resting, I took a job as a motorcycle courier during the day. I was
Okay.
terrible at that. I came off the bike five times, six
Ouch.
times in about 7 weeks. And my then girlfriend's mother said, if you want to marry my daughter, then get yourself a proper job. By the way, I run a market research company. Do you want to come and do some data entry for me
Wow.
while you decide what you want to do? And that was my pathway into research.
That wasn't your pathway into YouGov, though. That was a pathway into research.
That was my pathway into research.
Okay. You can take the fifth on this one. Did the then girlfriend go on to be?
No, she didn't.
No, I didn't ask that.
No,
Edit. This was it.
that's fine. Everything's very
I thought
amicable.
we could end this with a massive happy ending, and that then girlfriend is now my wife.
No, that was 20 odd years ago.
Wow.
But yeah, I then sort of I quite liked it. Working research. I was a quantitative researcher, so working with numbers. I was a qualitative researcher, interviewing people, and groups of people. I then moved into the sales side. The company I worked for got bought. And then I went to work for a startup for a while. And then 10 years ago, 11 years ago, moved over to YouGov, to set up account management and have worked in a number of different jobs,
So
across the business since then.
you moved way up through YouGov last decade or so. That's good. It's nice to see companies promoting from within, even the bigger companies, because a lot of senior execs are parachuting from outside. And actually, I know from my work with YouGov, it's quite a unique culture. While it's essentially quite a big company now, it still seems to retain that. I mean, I remember when I remember when it was a scrappy startup. Way back when, and I won't swear and say who I the other provider that I used then, but then seeing it professionalized and really growing up as an organization, you couldn't escape YouGov for a while, and still can't, to be honest with you. But then when I came across, YouGov and profiles and all the stuff that you were putting in the market, it was like, yeah, these guys are really good. And also, you're global, aren't you?
Oh, we are. We're operating in about 55 markets across the world. We've got what are we now employing about over 3,000 people.
Wow.
And we've got offices, from the west coast of the US all the way through to Australia. So we're a global organization. It's a fascinating place and an exciting place to work. And I've spent 11 very happy years here.
That's fantastic. Well, look, I mean, please, anyone who's listening to this, go and look at YouGov's website. It is a smorgasbord of free information, and you can get into the data really quickly. Admittedly, you can spend a lot of time in the data, but also if you want to do some more, think more bespoke, talk to the team. They are so helpful. Talk to the experts because they'll really help you craft the questions you need to get the answers that you want. But Will, that is a masterclass. Thank you so much. I look forward to speaking later and also launching our secret project sometime very early in 2026.
Indeed, indeed. Very much looking forward to it. Simon, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Will.